Friday, January 7th, 2011. Here's episode number one of the Brewers Fear Podcast with your host, Dakota Schmidt, Abraham Jaroszewski, and Nick McKeever. And we're going to have a little talk with Chris Crawford of ProspectInsider.com. Let's go, Brewers! Hello, everybody, and welcome to the inaugural episode of the Brewers Fever Podcast. Of course, I'm Scott Schmidt, and alongside with me on this inaugural first episode of the Brewers Fever Podcast, I have Abraham Jaroszewski and Nick McKeever. How are you guys doing tonight?
Good.
Doing pretty good, too.
Of course, on this episode of the Brewers Fever Podcast, we're going to have on Chris Crawford of Prospect Insider.com. We're going to talk about the recent transformation of the Brewers farm system, and of course, we're also going to talk about the Brewers offseason for the 2010-2011 offseason. Of course, we're going to talk about the Granke trade, Marco trade, etc. So, everybody, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to get to our interview with Chris Crawford, and after that, we're going to talk about the Brewers of season. So guys, we'll be right back. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Brewers Fever Podcast. Right now, we are joined by Chris Crawford, of course, from ProspectInsider.com. Chris, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, man. Thanks for having me.
And, of course, the reason why we have you on the show is because of the fact that, you know, the Brewers farm system pretty much, you know, transformed in, you know, basically 1 month. With two trades, of course, the Sean Markham trade, of course, we traded top prospect in Brett Lowry, and, of course, in the Granke trade, we traded, you know, four great prospects. You know, Escobar really wasn't a prospect, but, you know, he was still a young player, but, of course, we traded, you know, the likes of Jaffrez, Lorenzo Cain, and Jacob Adorley. So, you know, Chris Crawford, do you think the Brewers farm system is one of the worst, or do you think that they're better than people say?
It's a combination of both. It's better than people say, but unfortunately right now it would be in the bottom, definitely in the bottom half, probably in the bottom third of systems right now. When you lose players like Brett Lowry, when you lose the Jake Odorizzis, and you lose your Jared Jeffries, it's just too difficult for most systems. Most systems would drop down. And then unfortunately with the failure of Eric Arnett to establish himself as a top prospect, and, you know, some pretty average drafts from 2008 to 2010, it was just one of those things that you were going to see the system drop down. It's better than people are giving credit for it, though. There are some guys with some projection that you could see move up pretty well, but it's still one of the bottom systems in Major League Baseball right now.
Right. Of course, we're talking about, of course, the Brewers did lose a bunch of their top quality, you know, minor league pitchers, of course, St. John Jeffress and Dorsey. Me and you were talking, going back and forth via email, and we were talking about some players like, you know, maybe a Kyle Hackathorn, who we drafted in 2009. And he brought up a name that I really am not that familiar with. Tyler Thornburg. Tell me more about him.
Tyler Thornburg is a kid out of Charleston. Was a guy who was talked about pretty good in the 2000 and leading up to the 2010 draft. He was he's an interesting kid because he's not very big, but he can bring it, hit up to 95 miles per hour on his fastball. 5'11", 190 is what he's listed at. Probably it's smaller than that, to be completely honest with you. He does have a lot of wasted motion in his – I like him a lot better from the windup, let's just say that. He has a pretty good slider right now. He's working on a changeup. Command isn't very good right now, which is unfortunately something you're going to hear from a lot of Brewers' arms right now. Probably a reliever at this point, but really has missed bats at every level he's been at in college, and he missed bats at Helena. Was a little old for the level, but he's a guy you could see in Wisconsin and then maybe move up into the high A level in 2011.
Another player that moved up to the high A level in their first full year last year was Kyle Hackathorn, and of course he had a nice first year in the minors with the Brewers. Of course, he is not probably going to make it to the majors this year, but do you think he's going to end up like, double A or maybe at best triple A?
Hey, sorry about that, guys. My volume cut out. Could you repeat the question?
Kyle Hackathorn?
Kyle Hackathorn is another guy. He's kind of Tyler Thornburg, but the big version. He's a much bigger kid. Can really dial up the velocity as well. Once again, though, question about whether or not he's going to be a reliever at the next level. His fastball has a lot of run, which is a good thing. Thornburg's has a tendency to be a little bit straighter. Probably the upside for him is going to be three starter. If not, he might be the closer in the system. It's going to be interesting. He's another guy who's become a lot more hittable in previous stints in college with Kennesaw State as the game went on. So he's a good prospect. He's not the guy I'd want to be my best starting pitching prospect, and he might be that at this point.
Yeah, most definitely. It would have been, Eric Arnett, but of course he had that, that bad year last year in the minors, and, we did lose a Dylan Covey, who we drafted in 2010, but he failed to sign with the Brewers. And now let's move on to some hitters. Some names I want to, throw at you, if you don't mind.
Sure.
One of the names I'm going to throw at you right now is, I think, maybe drafted him in 2009 or 2010, but that name is Cameron Garfield. Of course, he's a catcher in the Brewers farm system. Tell me more about him.
Cameron Garfield was a kid who was drafted, I believe, in the second round of 2009.
Uh-huh.
Still some questions to me whether or not he's going to be able to stick at catcher. A decent prospect. He was somebody who signed a little bit for a little more than I thought, because I believe Garfield worked out an agreement with the Brewers before the draft. California kid, really struggled with the bat in Wisconsin last year, but there is some power projection in there. Does not have a lot of discipline at the plate. Has a fairly decent arm. I just wonder, with the size, he's at 6'192" listed right now. Should get a little bit bigger than that. Not a bad prospect, but certainly a long ways away from you seeing anything too relevant in the major leagues.
I think another prospect in the Brewers farm system, formerly, of course, now he's with Toronto, but right now I'm talking about Brett Lowry. Of course, you know, Brett Lowry was, I think he was, yeah, he was drafted as catcher, but moved out to second base. Do you think maybe that Garfield will have the same, will do the same thing?
If Garfield's moving, I think it's probably more to a corner position. He's not a slow guy, but he certainly doesn't have the speed Lowry does. So if you see him move, I would expect him to move to maybe third base, most likely first base, though.
All right. And another name I want to throw at you is Kentrell Davis.
Right. Kentrell Davis is maybe the most exciting of the Brewers' prospects because there is that raw power and that athleticism. He almost looks like a young Kirby Puckett, built like a fire plug. He does have some raw power. The power hasn't really shown at the minor league level yet, but what has shown more than people actually thought was the ability to work a walk. Had an on-base percentage of over 420, I believe, when he was at Wisconsin. 26 doubles. Didn't steal as many bases. He did steal some bases for Brevard County when he was in Florida, but he struggled there. But again, with the I believe he had an on-base percentage of over 380 when he was there too. He is a long way away from being ready for the major leagues, which is scary because he's 22 now. So I don't think you're going to see him help in 2011. You might be able to see him help in 2012, but he's one of the more exciting prospects because if he can put the raw power into the swing, he could be a good one.
Okay. Abe?
In reference to the prospects that the Brewers happen to trade away, how do you feel about Jeremy Jeffers? Obviously, he had some off-field issues, but the fastball is there. What do you think of him? Do you think he can become a starter? Do you think he's eventually going to be a closer? How do you see that happening?
I think he's going to be a closer. The arm is very legit. I talked to a bunch of scouts when I was at the Arizona Fall League this year. Got a chance to watch him at the Rising Stars. The fastball is live. It's just the secondary offerings I don't think are ever going to develop to the point where he's going to be a starting pitcher. I think Kansas City made that trade knowing that Jeffress was going to be a future closer. Again, the arm is live. The off-field stuff, it's been a little bit of a concern. I just think at this point, though, I wouldn't be shocked to see Jared Jeffries pitching in the eighth inning, setting up Soria this year. Very live arm. The secondary stuff plays as a reliever because you're only throwing 15, 20 pitches and you're only going through three or four batters at a time. It's like I said with that Kansas City trade, or maybe I didn't say it, but I've been like I told a bunch of people, it was a steal. To me, even though the Brewers' farm system was gutted, it was worth gutting because that farm system wasn't a top 10 farm system anyway. It wasn't even probably not even the top 15. So for the Brewers to actually be able to pull off a trade like that, giving up maybe four of their top five prospects and then moving the other one in the Sean Markham deal, it hurt the farm system, but it was absolutely worth it.
What about the other two guys who weren't necessarily prospects by definition, but certainly are not known quantities at the big league level? How do you feel about Alcides Escobar and Lorenzo Cain? And do you think that they will kind of make the Brewers regret the trade maybe 4 or 5 years down the line?
I don't. Alcides Escobar is a decent player. I wasn't a huge fan of him, even when he was considered a top five prospect in all of baseball. I just never saw it. I think he's a nice defensive player. Don't think the power is ever going to come. I was actually very, very shocked that Kansas City made the deal that they did. Lorenzo Cain, it kind of depends on if he's going to be able to stick at center field. It looks like he is. I don't know if he's ever going to be plus-plus there, but it looks like he's going to be a pretty decent outfielder. Not a huge fan of the bat. I had a couple of scouts compare him to as a poor man's Franklin Gutierrez. You know, there's nothing wrong with that, but the poor man's Franklin Gutierrez is not going to get the job done when you're getting a Zach Greinke. So, you know, Escobar, you know, I think Escobar is certainly better than Unieski Betancourt. And as a Mariner fan, I've been through the Unieski Betancourt stuff, and I feel for anybody watching baseball in Milwaukee for shortstop. That's definitely something they need to address probably in the 2011 draft. But I don't think they're going to regret giving up either Kane or Escobar for a player like Zach Greinke.
And what's your opinion on Jacob Dorsey?
He's a nice starter. I think he's probably going to max out as a three. But again, though, he's just one of those guys that I don't have a problem giving up in a trade, like for a absolute bona fide 5-win player like Zach Greinke is. He's got some command issues as well. He's just your typical lefty ahead of one person. Say he kind of reminded me him of Jimmy Key. Jimmy Key was a pretty solid starter for a while. I don't see that in Odorizzi. So yeah, again, just a nice prospect, but not somebody that you'll cry yourself to sleep over losing.
Of course, you're talking about you know, the Brewers giving up, you know, bunch of players for Greinke, and of course our top prospect in the Brad Laurie for, you know, Sean Markham. Do you think that's gonna be worth it, you know, in the end? Because frankly, I think the Brewers have, you know, 1 year where they can, you know, kind of contend for the World Series. Do you think it's worth it in the end to just go all in with the Major League team?
You know, it's the ultimate paradox. It's one of those things that you won't find out if you're right or wrong until October. I think Lowry was a pretty decent prospect. He's the one guy that I was surprised. In fact, Jason and I, who I do the site with on prospectinsider.com, Jason and I thought when that trade was made, there was absolutely no chance that the Greinke trade could be made because Lowry was gone. The speed he possesses, he's gotten so much better at the second base position than either of us thought. He's what we kind of hope Dustin Ackley will be in Seattle, being able to pick up the position. Sean Markham's a nice pitcher, though, and I think he'll do really well in the National League. If the Brewers win the division and if they can, you know, maybe make it to the NLCS or, you know, go further, and they have every chance to at least win that division. I'm just not a big fan of that division. I think Cincinnati's pitching is vastly overrated. Pretty good lineup. St. Louis is a kind of a conundrum. If they can stay healthy, they're a pretty good team. But Milwaukee's just as good as anybody there. If Milwaukee can stay healthy, and if Sean Markham can help lead him to the playoff spot, you know, losing a guy like Lowry is tough. But if you think of it as a 5-for-2, and if you include the Lowry trade with the Greinke trade, then I think it was absolutely worth it.
Okay, let's move on to the, of course, it's a long ways away, but the little bit of a preview to the 2011 MLB draft. Of course, the college season is going to start for another month or so, but let's do a little preview of the 2011 MLB draft. Of course, the Brewers have two picks in the top 15. Of course, the number 12 pick and the number 15th pick, of course, the 15th pick that the app are losing, you know, Dylan Covey. And, you know, what kind of approach do you think the Brewers are going to take in the draft?
It's going to be interesting. It's one of my favorite drafts I've had since I started covering this stuff. We were talking earlier, I think it's the best draft since 2005, and the Brewers did okay in that draft.
yes, they did.
Pretty good little player. I think his name is Braun or something like that.
I'm Braun.
Pretty good player. It's a good draft. The nice part about the draft is it's not a specialized draft. There are very good high school pitchers. There are very good college hitters and everything in between. I love Anthony Rendon. I love Garrett Cole. What you're going to see is you're going to see some guys slide down, like a Matt Perk, who... Some people, I'm not as high on Matt Perk as others are, but If you can get him at 12, that would be an absolutely outstanding addition to the draft. Unfortunately, at 15, I think you have to kind of play it safe and maybe go the reliever route or the college starting pitching route, or maybe work out a deal with a high school player and take somebody that's a little not quite worth 15th pick in terms of value, because you can't afford to lose that draft pick. Under the rules, they only get that one chance to sign the 15th pick this year. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. There are some good college arms, and that's what type of route I would go for the 15th pick, since you have to sign that player.
I think the overall consensus for the first pick in the upcoming MLB draft is Anthony Rendon from Rice. Is that right?
Correct.
And obviously, of course, the last few drafts, of course, were, you know, pitcher, of course, a big-time college pitcher, of course, and, you know, Steven Strasburg, and, of course, the young, you know, 17-year-old kid, of course, and Bryce Harper. How does Rendon compare to other, you know, first-round picks from the past?
He would be as good a first pick as anyone but not Strasburg, in my opinion. To me, he's an Evan Longoria with a little bit more power and a little bit, maybe a little bit more range defensively, as weird as that is to say, because Longoria is such a good defensive player.
Hello, Chris?
And also, yes.
Sorry, you broke up for a second, but what were you going to say about Rendon?
Yeah, great player. The only question about him is whether or not he's healthy after his ankle injury, and also whether or not Pittsburgh can afford him. If not, there's other options like Garrett Cole, a right-hander out of UCLA, and maybe you could see a guy like Barnes out of UConn or George Springer out of UConn as well move up. But right now, I would say all odds say Anthony Rendon is going to be the first pick and a good one.
So you think he's going to be a better version of, Longoria?
I don't know if he's going to be a better version, but every scout I've talked to has said that he has that ability to be Longoria and then some. And that's saying something, because Longoria is one of the, in my opinion, top five young players in baseball. He plus power, hits power to all fields, great kid, great work ethic, very, very good fielder. If you wanted to play him at shortstop, you could in a pinch. Can run. Now, we'll see how well he can run after the ankle surgery, but absolutely would expect Anthony Rendon to be a star in the major league level.
Abe, do you have anything to ask?
Well, I think part of the reason that we've had to make so many trades for these starting pitchers that are major league ready is because of the failure of our, for whatever reason, to develop young pitchers, aside for Giovanni Gallardo. Do you have anything, do you think that maybe the Brewers are overrating pitchers that maybe you weren't as high on? What do you think that they can do better, or is it just kind of unlucky that all these guys seem to get hurt, or do you think that's an evaluation technique?
I think that's a great question. I think it's a little bit of everything. They have had some bad luck, absolutely. But one of the guys we were talking about earlier was Mark Rogers. Couldn't get much more unlucky with Mark Rogers. Too bad, because he's a great kid, too. I think part of it, though, is talking to some people. They have struggled with scouting a little bit, at the especially at the collegiate level with arms, which has become such an important way to improve your farm system now. You're seeing more and more college arms develop into front-end starters over the high school arms, just because of the project. It's just difficult right now to have high school kids develop and be worth the signing bonuses. And, you know, but I would say it has a lot to do with luck as well. They got – I remember back to even Wes Obermueller. They've just been an unfortunate farm system, it seems like, for a very long time. Now, Doug Melvin won't stand for that for too long. He's going to put the right people in place. I firmly believe in that. It's just right now, this is one of the biggest drafts in Brewers, in the Brewers' history, because with as many arms as they had that struggled last year, and with the two first-round picks, and with so many arms looking like bullpen arms right now, it's pretty important that they add a starting pitcher or two.
All right. You have anything else to add, Abe?
Mm-hmm. Do you have any sleepers in the Brewers system that maybe some of the other draft nits might be lower on than you are?
To me, one of the guys, and you might see him move up the system again, to me, Mark Rogers is one of the sleepers in the draft, you know, or so one of the sleepers in the system. I think he has a chance to be a very, very, very good closer, or maybe even develop into a fourth or fifth starter, which is, you wouldn't have said that in 2009 or 2008. I think his fastball has started to pick up some run as well with the high velocity. Heckathorn would be another guy that I would say is a bit of a sleeper in the system. And but other than that, you're looking at a lot of relief arms to me. It's very important that they address the starting pitcher. Sound like a broken record in 2009.
But what about in terms of hitters?
In terms of hitters, I think I can't think of anybody off the top of my head, and I know that's kind of sad. It's one other sleeper arm that I do like, that I was thinking of is Amari Rivas. I'm not sure if I'm completely pronouncing that name right. He's a guy I like quite a bit. Believe he was the organization's pitcher of the year. Pretty good breaking ball, decent little fastball. So he could be a guy that you see move up the organizational chart pretty quick.
Okay, thank you, Chris, for being on the show. And tell the listeners a little bit about ProspectInsider.com.
ProspectInsider.com. We mostly focus on Pacific Northwest stuff, but we're a great source for the draft. Jason Churchill does the MLB draft blog for ESPN. So any type of information you're looking for, prospects or for 2011 and beyond drafts, feel free to shoot us a question at prospectinsider.com. My email is crawford@prospectinsider.com. Feel free to shoot me an email and ask about any prospects for the draft, and I'll be more than happy to answer you guys as soon as possible.
Yeah, thank you, Chris. And of course, guys, I don't think this is the last time you'll be hearing Chris, of course. This is, early January, and of course we're about, 2.5 months away from the season and the start of the minor league season. So Chris, if you want to come on any other time, just before the season or during the season, by draft time, then you're very welcome to come on.
I'd love to. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, thank you, Chris, and we'll be right back here on the Brewers Favorite Podcast. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Brewers of Beer podcast. And right now it's time to talk about the 2010-2011 offseason for your Milwaukee Brewers. And let's start things out with a big one. The big move of the offseason, of course, that was the re-signing of 40-year-old Craig Counsell. And, Abe, what do you think about the re-signing of Craig Counsell?
After the other smaller trade that occurred earlier, we needed a shortstop that could preferably hit from the left side, had a good glove, and, you know, could kind of take some at-bats away and get, you know, a solid defensive replacement, essentially, in Council. And, you know, Council's older, but he gets on base at a good clip, and from all indications, he's a good guy in the clubhouse and has that experience and has won the World Series 2 times, so that, you know, can hurt, and hasn't been there in a while, so maybe the baseball gods will bring him back this year.
Yeah, most definitely. And Nick, what do you think about the re-signing of Mr. Craig Council?
Well, Abe said more than I could think of to say about it, but he's obviously, like Abe said, a veteran leader in a ball club, and that everyone seems to respect and like, so it was pretty clear when he was re-signed that he's a good guy to have around when you need him to play whatever position you want him to play. He's able to step in and do a decent job. I mean, I have no complaints about him, but it's a nice way to develop your bench for this upcoming season.
I think both Abe and Nick took the words right out of my mouth. Of course, you know, Council, of course, has been in the league for a while. You know, he is, I think people really don't know this, but I think he's one of the clutch players in the big leagues right now. You know, he was on base for 2 World Series wins, of course, when he was with the Marlins back in 97, and of course, the D-backs back in 2001. So he's more clutch, or maybe lucky, than people really actually think. And I know, guys, I just said the Council was the biggest offseason move, but of course, we're going to talk about the big offseason move of the 2010-2011 offseason for your Milwaukee Brewers. Of course, that was the trade that brought Zach Greinke to the Milwaukee Brewers. Of course, we traded Jeremy Jeffress, I'll say Seth Guarda, the Rancel Kane, and Jacob Dorsey to the Royals for, of course, Greinke and Unieski Bencourt. First of all, let's go to Abe with his thoughts on the trade.
Well, after the other move we made in the offseason, getting rid of one of our better prospects, I thought the chances of getting Greinke were none. So I was certainly proven wrong. I guess I didn't expect that package to be enough for him, considering teams like Toronto and the Yankees probably could have outbid him. But I guess our prospects, A, were in a combination bigger than either of those couple teams that were in on those on the bidding were willing to. And also, if you look at the Royals farm system, they're very strong on the corners, kind of like our major league club is. But they had gaping holes in center and to a greater extent in shortstop, which has kind of been Achilles' heel for the organization for as long as time. So, you know, obviously, Milwaukee being a small market club, one of the important ideas of that is to have a sustainable farm system, and after that, after this trade, that's pretty much out the window. And just because of that, you know, I do happen to agree with it. I thought that no one in the farm system, you know, had a chance to be as solid as Prince Fielder is, and obviously Fielder's one of the best hitters in the game, and I think we have a slim to no chance of re-signing him, and I really don't think we should re-sign him just because of the money and the investment in a first baseman that's pretty poor defensively and will probably not age very well. So I think we had to go in all in for this year, and then one of the best parts is that Greinke has a 2-year contract, so next year, you know, we'll be able to do hopefully as well too. So we have kind of a nice 2-year window that's opened up, because although Fielder is an incredible bat, his presence, you know, maybe somebody like Matt Gamble can fill in at first base in 2012, and we can use that you know, roughly $15 million that Fielder will make in 2011, and put that toward improving the ball club further for 2012 and make a nice little run for those 2 years, which I really agree with because that kind of fab core that we had developing in early this decade really has only amounted to that one playoff appearance with the wild card in 2008. And I think that's kind of a disappointment for any Bears fans that if we were to have all this great offensive talent and we only had one playoff appearance to show for it, and I don't think we would have made the playoffs without making this squeaky trade. So, somebody who,
Say that again.
And I think it's something that definitely will energize the fan base as well. I think there were 1,300 season tickets sold after that. So, another part of that sustainability is, you know, drawing a lot of fans, and especially with our poor television deal. So, I think it's certainly a win for 2011, and I think when you look at it, you know, 5 years down the line, I think most of those prospects will probably pan out, but you know, Jeffers will probably be closing, and Odorizzi will probably be a third pitcher, and Lorenzo Cain and Escobar will be two defensive-heavy players who are valuable, but I don't think we're going to see any all-stars of that group, so I don't think, you know, 5-6 years down the line we'll be, you know, completely regretting this trade, and you know, hopefully we will look back in a very fondly.
Yeah, of course. What's your thoughts on Unieski Benford?
Well, I could pull a Doug
Melvin and see.
Huh?
Wait and see approach.
Well, I think we kind of know what we're going to get from Betancourt. He's a slightly above average hitter for a shortstop with a bad glove.
Mm-hmm.
We survived last year with three pretty mediocre hitters in center and short and catcher, so I don't think the bat's going to be a problem. What does concern me a little bit is I wish he had a better glove, because that way he could at least help out the pitching staff so he could be providing something valuable, but he can't be perfect at everything, and at least, you know, the Royals are basically paying us to buy him out next year, and hopefully we can reunite with J.J. Hardy.
Yeah, because Hardy is on the market in the 2012 offseason. And there's some interesting names out there for first baseman in the 2012 offseason, of course, where we haven't even started the 2011, you know, season, but there's some interesting names out there that the Brewers could take a look at. Maybe bring back Ryle Orbe, I don't know. But, Nick, what do you think about the big-time Zach Greinke trade?
Oh, I have to agree with everything Abe has just said about him. When I first heard about it, I was shocked to hear about it. I would think that the Yankees would have pulled out some miraculous deal like they always do after they failed on Cliff Lee. But it's a deal that I'm very excited about for the Brewers. Makes us one of the top teams in National League this year. And even though we gave up some, we threw our future and gave our future to the Kansas City for this trade, but it shows that the front office of the Brewers are all in this year and even the year after, because like Abe said, he's under a 2-year contract, so it makes us very competitive for the next 2 years, and you still have the core pieces here, even though I would still hope they would trade Prince Fielder to try to get even better pitching, make us even more dominant in the pitching staff, but they want to keep them for the offense, I guess. And I'm just very excited, and I'm sure everyone in Milwaukee is excited about the trade.
Yeah, you mentioned the New York Yankees, of course, probably grabbing up Greinke. I don't think there was a chance that, you know, Greinke wanted to be a New York Yankee. Of course, he has been dealing with some, you know, emotion problems, you know, depression, and of course, New York is not the kind of place you want to go to when you're a big-time, you know, former Cy Young Award winner with some emotional problems. No, because I think when it comes to New York, of course, I'm not a New Yorker, I'm from Wisconsin, but, you know, when a New York team gets, you know, a big-time player, maybe like a Zach Greinke, I think the fans just wait. They just wait. They don't, you know, cheer like, yay, we got this guy, or this guy. They just basically wait for that guy to fail, then they just basically come after him and, you know, just boo him or whatever, you know, call your New York radio station and say, hey, Zach Greinke is horrible. You know, we should trade Zach Greinke for Cliff Lee and Roy Halladay. Some other nonsense. You know, Greinke was not going to go to the Yankees. The Nationals were another team on there, but, you know, I think Greinke denied that, that he would go to the Nationals because, you know, even the Nationals, they did make some decent offseason moves, of course, that big one in the big time, you know, Jason Worth signing. The Nationals, you know, aren't, you know, going to go to the playoffs anytime soon because of the fact that, you know, the Phillies are just so dominant, both, you know, pitching-wise, and they have some good players offensively, even though the Phillies did get rid of Jason Worth. But Greinke, Brewers, can't wait. Basically can't wait. Now we have a, you know, an ace in our rotation for the first time, you know, since CC. I really don't think that Benchies was that much of an ace. You know, Yovani Gallardo still trying to get up to that, you know, ace level, but I think this move is, of course, huge for the Milwaukee Brewers. And of course, I'm going to talk about another, you know, big move for the Milwaukee Brewers is when we traded Brett Lowry, of course, one of the big-time prospects in the Brewers farm system, for Sean Markham from the Tampa Bay Blue Jays. So, Abe, what do you think about the Sean Markham trade?
Well, when it first broke, it was just announced that the Brewers had traded for Sean Markham, and I was ecstatic because, you know, he's the guy I was high on after his coming off of Tommy John surgery, you know, strictly in a fantasy stance. So, you know, and then you look at it and say, oh, well, he was in the AL East last year. And now coming over to the NL Central, you know, hopefully he can have, you know, some solid improvement. I think someone's done a study and, like, the average improvement ERA-wise is, like, basically a half a run adjustment for being in the National League. And I think you can even exasperate that a little bit going from the AL East to the NL Central. You know, obviously, the AL East having the Yankees and the Red Sox, you know, two teams that are always high in the payroll department. If you take those teams,
the Rays were a great team last year, of course.
Yeah, and the Rays were a very good team last year. But I think last year, if you take out Markham's starts against the Yankees and the Red Sox, and obviously, you know, kind of reeks of selection bias and all that other statistical hoo-ha, but if you take out those two teams, he had a 2.87 ERA. Which, and that's complete with pitching it to the DH. And, you know, obviously with the divisions actually mattering in baseball, you know, you play those divisional teams, you know, 17, 18 times as opposed to just 6 or 9 for the rest of your league. So, I mean, that weighs largely in your statistics. And I think that definitely was one of Melvin's selling points to Greinke is that, you know, he can really improve going to the National League Central. And I think the same will become transparent with Markham, and Markham is a guy I really appreciate too because he doesn't walk a lot of players, and he has strikeout abilities. So, you know, maybe the Brewers' defense, which has gotten fairly worse after, you know, the shortstop, after the difference in shortstops between Escobar and Betancourt, you know, their defense as a whole, which was just a tick below average last year, will probably end up being, you know, mediocre this year. So, you know, that's something that, you know, you got to keep guys off the bases, and, you know, Markham's control will do something like that for you. And, you know, this trade's not without risk. Brett Lowry, who I think can stay at second base, but I think worst-case scenario would end up at third base, so he kind of would have been a nice guy to stick with in front of McGee maybe 1 or 2 years down the line. And obviously, he being Canadian is a big selling point to the Toronto media that's trying to rebuild the program and kind of the baseball interests there. But, you know, so, you know, you gotta give talent to get talent, and I think that's kind of on exhibit for that trade, with this trade now.
Yeah, most definitely. And when you look at some of the stats for Charlotte Barkley last year, of course, it was talking about the ERA, and of course with all the great teams to play against, he had a 3.64 ERA, which, you know, really isn't that good or that bad. But you take a look at his WHIP, which of course is walks plus hits divided by innings pitched, and it was very, very good with a 1.147. You know, he only gave up, you know, 50 walks last year, and he gave up 43 walks, and, you know, struck out 165 guys. And, you know, the Brewer fans really don't know much about him because he, you know, played with Toronto last year. But looking at the stats and, you know, looking at what, you know, the media, of course, Milwaukee media and, you know, the Canadian media to say, I'm sorry, I think this is a good move for Milwaukee. So, Nick, what do you think about the Sean Markham trade? Nick?
Yes, I'm here. I love the trade, obviously. I think it was one of those trades nobody was really talking about, or not a lot of fans were talking about, or I thought was really being overlooked at the time, because it was before the Greinke trade, and you would have thought Markham would be the number two after Gallardo. And you put him now with Greinke, Gallardo, Markham, and Wolf, and you just have a stacked pitching staff for the Brewers this coming up year. He was the opening day pitcher for the Blue Jays, and I love the trade. Actually, the Brewers are pretty much dumped their whole farm system now this past offseason. You're pretty much, if we don't go to the World Series or at least to the NLCS, this could really bite us in the butt upcoming in the near future. But I just love the moves the Brewers have been making, and we finally have a pitching staff that we can actually rely on. We don't really have to wait until Gallardo starts to actually feel good about a game now, but I'm looking forward to see how everything is put together.
Yeah, most definitely. I think one of the guys that, you know, will do good from this trade is actually, you know, not Ivani. Of course, Ivani is probably going to do a little bit better because all the pressure isn't on his back. But another guy I think you should take a look at is actually Randy Wolf. You know, he had a decent into the season. Of course, he really didn't start out the season that great, but he had a decent to the season in 2010, but he had a decent end to the 2010 season. Now he's in 2011, and, you know, I think that Randy Wolf is going to bounce back and have a nice, you know, nice year as the number four starter. And now let's talk about some of the smaller moves, I guess, that the Brewers made. Now, first off is the signing of Takashi Saito, who, of course, was the relief pitcher, the center man, for the Braves last season. And he is 40. You know, he's a man. He's 40. He's not a kid. But, you know, I think he could be a nice center man for him, John Maxford. I don't think Saito can pitch consecutive days, which could kind of hurt the Brewers, but I'm really high in the kid in Zach Braddock, so I'm not really worried about that. So, Abe, what do you think about Takashi Saito?
I like it a lot. I think that, you know, with starting pitching being vastly improved and the hitting being vastly improved, you know, the next natural progression is to worry about the bullpen. And when you have a contending team, the bullpen does matter. You know, when you don't have really a contending team, you know, the bullpen doesn't matter too much because you're not winning games. And the kind of the nature of the bullpen is that they're really fluky, and really up and down and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, look no farther than the last 2 years of Trevor Hoffman. I mean, he was incredible 2 years ago, and he was awful last year. And, you know, even a guy like John Axford, who really, you know, acquainted himself in the closer role last year. I mean, he kind of came out of nowhere, you know, from all indications. And he can easily regress back to what he was. And, you know, he can go away just as quickly as he came in. And you know, I think Brewers fans are reminded of Derek Turnbow. You know, he even looks kind of like him. So, you know, you never know with those guys. And Saito is a guy, yes, he's older, and yes, he can't pitch on consecutive days, but he really shores up that eighth inning. You know, we may have a very talented bullpen, but we also have a very young bullpen. And, you know, I think with him being able to pitch every other day, maybe that'll kind of help ease the burden of, you know, LaTroy Atkins, especially coming off a shoulder injury. And, you know, I think some of the criticisms is, oh, well, he wasn't worth $2 million. Maybe we should have, you know, thrown $2 million, thrown a bone maybe to somebody like Jeff Francis or Brandon Webb, who signed with the Rangers for $3 million, which is not that significant of a deal. But I think with a team like this, you know, the bullpen will improve because the starting pitching is so much improved. You know, those pitchers like Greinke and Markham will go into the seventh inning, you know, and that, you know, when 30 starts of going an inning deeper and then two guys doing that, you know, just little, you know, garbage arithmetic like that says that's 60 innings. That's, you know, basically one bullpen guy you're not going to need to use. You know, that you're not going to have to call up from the minors, who is probably not very strong. You know, and you replace that with an ace caliber guy. And that just makes your team so much better. So I think it's important that, you know, you shore up those less relief innings that you have to deal with now. And Saito's a nice way to slot in 50 innings at, you know, roughly a 3 ERA. And that's just very, very solid.
All right, so Nick, what do you think about the move for the 40-year-old relief pitcher from Japan, in Takashi Saito?
Well, I don't love or hate it. I feel any team that wants to win now, like the Brewers clearly are trying to do with a stack, with a great, good, not great yet because the season started, but with a good starting rotation. You always want to fill your bullpen with a quality veteran player, pitchers that the manager could rely on, because if you have a lot of young players like we had last year with all the pitchers, like Abe said, Axford came out of nowhere. I didn't really have any expectations for him like we did for Hoffman coming in a year, and we know how that turned out. So as long as we have depth in the bullpen and good quality pitching, that's always good. But I've learned that you can't really have high hopes for players the Brewers bring in the bullpen, because things could just turn badly for us.
David Risky.
Yeah.
Okay, and let's talk about some of the smaller moves of the offseason. First of all, we're not going to go really in-depth in these moves that we did with the, of course, the Greinkes and the Markhams and the Saitos forever. But we did go out and get Brandon Box, of course, who had some playing time with the Texas Rangers. And, you know, I think he could be a nice number four, number five, you know, outfielder first team. Of course, you know, not really that good, not really that bad, but he just, in my mind, a decent player. If you guys want to say anything about Mr. Brandon Boggs, just say so. Anyway.
I don't have anything to say. I don't have an educated enough opinion about him to speak for him specifically, but Doug Melvin, going back to that Texas pipeline, it just seems like that road never closes. Looking at his indications, looks like a solid guy, and can't argue with his improvement, his statistical improvement. And you got guys like Chris Dickerson, who will probably be the fourth outfielder, and hopefully he can platoon with Gomez. And, you know, Boggs, you know, he's not gonna be a Braun or a Hart, but, you know, maybe he can come in. And I think some scouting reports had him as with being a good glove, so maybe he can kind of come in the eighth or ninth inning for Hart or Braun, who are pretty notoriously poor fielders. And, you know, I'm not going to say he's going to win a game for us, but maybe, you know, he can cover some more ground than those guys would have in the 8th or 9th inning and, you know, just be a solid defensive replacement.
Yeah, as you heard, Nick said no, so he really doesn't have an opinion on Ben Mike. So I think that basically just wraps up the 2010 offseason so far for Brewers, and I think we're pretty much done. I think we're going to sign a veteran minor leaguer, you know, here and there, maybe like a Chonix type from a few years ago, but I think we're basically done. You know, no big time trades like Nick said. We're not going to trade Prince Fielder. He is here. For a long run, hopefully. Of course, if we don't have a good start, we'll probably trade him, you know, maybe in July or whatever. But I think this offseason is basically done for Brewers, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, I expect at least a dozen just kind of minor league flyers. You know, probably six of them coming from the Texas pipeline or whatever. But, you know, Melvin has a pretty good history of just kind of picking up guys off the scrap heap and turning them into solid guys, you know, guys like Gabe Kapler, John Axford, like we mentioned earlier.
McGee.
Casey McGee, there you go. So I guess that kind of makes Melvin's poor bullpen investments all the more puzzling because he's shown ability to pick up guys like that off the scrap heap. And obviously, you know, maybe we're not scouting relief or scouting starting pitching appropriately out of the draft, but we have some kind of ability in that organization, and I have no clue who it is, but, you know, we can scout the indie leagues, and we can pick guys up on the cheap. Bud Coffey is another example off the top of my head. So, you know, you only need these guys for 1 year, really, and just like Nick said, you know, up and down guys all around, all bullpens in this entire league. You know, Mariano Rivera is not the rule. He is the exception. So, you know, you just got to get one good year out of these guys. You got to get 60 innings. And especially looking at the minor or the middle relief guys who signed contracts this offseason, like Akeem Benoit and guys like that, who are making, who got 3 years, $18 million, which is just absolutely absurd. You know, hey, yeah, I like you said, I expect a couple of small signings. I don't think we'll see a trade. So, what you got to do? The 40-man roster is filled up with the Saito signing. So that kind of hinders us a little bit, but I do expect, like I said, 10 to 12 minor league contracts with invitations to spring trainings, and maybe one of those guys will stick with the big league club to start the year.
Yeah, actually, as of today, January 6th, 2011, thank you for bringing that up. We did have some, assigned some, you know, minor league players to Milwaukee, if you don't mind me saying those names. Do you guys mind me saying some of the names that we brought up to the Brewers for spring training?
No.
Okay. We brought up guys in Caleb, Gendel, Anderson, De La Rosa, Logan Schaefer, Zealous Walker. Hey, we're bringing back Mark DeFelice. I hope he does, because he did back in 2009. Robert Hinton is assigned to the Milwaukee Brewers. We're bringing back Mike Rivera. Maybe compete with like Will Yabez or one of those, maybe George Carras for, you know, the backup catcher role. We brought up a kid named Zach Zagovia. I don't really know about him. So we assigned a few guys, say to the major league roster, spring training invites, whatever. I think maybe, you know, we could see Felice maybe come back. Mike Rivera may be being back in the backup catcher role for Brewers, of course. I did like Mike Rivera back when he was backing up Jason Kendall, you know, back in the day. But basically those are some of the guys that we're inviting to spring training. Of course, it's only January, and you know, spring training starts, you know, mid-February, so there will be names that will be added to that spring training invites roster. And Nick apparently wants us to end the show. So, Nick, what do you have to plug tonight?
To plug?
Yes.
My Twitter account?
Yes, what is it?
Do you want to know? A Black MacGyver.
Black by color or MacGyver, like the TV show.
Yeah, and watch Packers Eagles Wild Card Weekend.
Yes, and watch Bucks. And watch Bucks and listen to the Bucks cast.
Well, you don't have to.
You should.
Oh, the Bucks cast, yes. Not the Bucks game.
Yeah, if you don't watch the Bucks game, then you can get all the info on the Bucks cast, of course. Of course. And let's go to Abe for his plugs.
You can follow me on Twitter at GBNB34, and like you guys already got to, listen to the Bucks cast. You get just as many gems on there as you do on here.
Most definitely. And, of course, guys, you can email the show brewersfever@gmail.com. And also, guys, follow yours truly, Dakota, the great Dakota Schmidt, the pride of Medford, Wisconsin, you know, not counting the great Tombstone Pizza and the Badgers defense lineman and Ethan Hemer, but I'm one of the great, of course, the great names from Medford, Wisconsin, of course, you guys already know that. Follow me on Twitter, Dakota_Schmidt. Dakota, like the Saints, you know, Dakota, D-A-K-O-T-A. The little underscore, and Schmidt, of course, like the great Phillies third baseman from the 70s and 80s. And everybody, this is Coach Schmidt, of course, over there, Abraham Jaroszewski, and Nick McKeever, and everybody, we're signing off for this week. Everybody, do you have Brewers fever? We'll see you next week, everybody. Goodbye.